dear colleagues, dear audience. Unfortunately, I could not be in person in the meeting, but it is my pleasure to inform you about an update on climate change impacts in this country. My name is Fred Hattermann. I'm working at the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research, and I'm collaborating with Jill and Emily in the Transform-R project. So this is the outline. I would like to briefly repeat what we see in the scenarios about climate change in West Country, and then would like to zoom into your area, into your region, and talk about impacts on water, vegetation, and extremes. In the end, we will draw some messages which hopefully will stimulate the discussion afterwards. Now, looking at the climate change, how the climate models projected for West Country, where we have the historical period, the average around now, roughly 10 degrees, and now different scenarios into the future. The high-end scenarios are following the emissions we see at the moment. So the emissions we have at the moment would lead us to the high and scenarios, and the blue one is one where we are below or where we keep this 2 degree target. And what we see is there might be a further steep increase in temperature. These are the annual values, but then looking into an average year, here are the months, and this is a temperature increase in the near future. And already in the near future, it might be that we have a temperature increase of 1 degree, but over the year, the increase is stronger in August, say in late summer, and less in winter. And this is important. We will come back to it. Now, looking at the precipitation trends, again, the different scenarios, and what you see, there's a lot of variation, high uncertainty, but not a clear pattern whether it is in total an increase or a decrease. So is everything okay? Possibly not. Also looking at the near future and zooming into a year with the different months, you see that we would have more precipitation in winter months and less in summer. So it might be that we have drier conditions in summer, although annual precipitation may not change, and this can be a threat. Summarizing the results so far, what we see on the projections are hotter summers, milder winters, but also wetter winters and drier summers. Although the overall precipitation, the annual, may not change, and this could lead, and we will explore it in the slides afterwards, to more droughts, heat, but also to an increase of flood extremes. Now, zooming into West Country and having a look at impacts on water availability, vegetation, and extremes. Starting with river discharge and extremes. I always like to firstly look at observations to get a feeling really for the regions we work in. This is observed daily discharge of the river Exe in cubic meter per second. And these are the annual maximum flows. So this is a discharge. These are the years. These are daily data. And these are the maximum flows per annum. Now, investigating the data deeper, doing some extreme value flood statistics. This is a typical plot you will see later again. This is a return period in years. So these are 10 years. This is 1 year. And this is a discharge, which you would, the volume, flow volume, you would expect each 10 years, for example. So 10 years. the maximum flow you statistically expect once in 10 years is roughly 180 cubic meters per second. Yeah? It can be that in 10 years you have two floods. It might be that you have in 10 years none, but on average, you would expect such a flood every 10 years. Now, looking at trends, climate change is ongoing. We are in the midst of climate change. The temperatures are already 1.5 degrees higher globally, and continents are warming up faster. This has impacts, and what you see is that, again, taking the River Exe as a typical river in your area as an example, you see an increase in flow. It is not very significant, but it is there. This is simply the observation. Now, we would like to project what happens with river discharge and also hydrological processes and vegetation under climate change conditions. And to do so, we apply an ecohydrological model called SWIM, which has weather and climate as input, precipitation, temperature, and so on. The model doesn't know whether this observation or scenario, it is driven by climate as input. Here we have the hydrological processes considered, and they are the obvious ones: infiltration, runoff, groundwater, river discharge, evapotranspiration, vegetation growth, natural forest grassland, managed crops are there, and glaciers don't play a role in your area. It also considers management, for example, crop management, rotation, fertilization, irrigation, water allocation, and reservoirs. And we reconstruct the area of this country, of England, and so on, using different layers of information. For example, the DEM, the digital elevation model, the land use, the soils, to reconstruct the landscapes. The model setup is actually not specifically for West Country. It is a continental setup. Here we have a zoom into the river region, Great Britain, of the model. And here we consider again 344 main rivers in Great Britain. They have tributaries in total 1,630, which we are considering. And then there are the hydrotopes, how we call them. They are landscape elements having a specific soil, having a specific land use, land cover, vegetation, and being part of a specific basin. And in the end, we also compare the results we model with observed data for more than 160 stations in Great Britain. Yeah. And part of this map model setup are some important rivers in your region, for example, the rivers Tamar, Torridge, Tor, and Exe. The model has not been specifically calibrated for West Country. It is a calibration for the river region Great Britain. However, when comparing the observed and simulated discharge in your area, you see that it is not a perfect, but a quite good reproduction of the dynamics, flow dynamics you have in your region. And this was again the example of the River Exe. Now, this is entering the scenarios. We fed the climate data of the scenarios into the model, and what we see is for the historical period, an increase of discharge, as we also have seen it in the observations. And now, projecting into the future, we see that independent from the scenario, we will have an increase of a further increase of river discharge, water availability in the area. This is so because the highest precipitation increase is in the hot scenarios. However, the warm scenarios also show an increase of evapotranspiration. And this balances in a way over the year the increase in precipitation. This is why we don't have so many differences in river discharge when we consider different scenarios, warm scenarios, hot scenarios, and the moderate cooler scenarios. Again, the River Exe. And here the distribution over the year. So how does the flow in the river changes in the different months? This historical period, dark blue and blue, the near future, and light blue, the far future. And what you see is, especially in the winter months, we have a quite steep increase in river discharge. Sometimes not much of a change in the summer, but a stronger increase in winter. This is the River Exe, taking another example. And I heard that many of you are from the river basin of Tamar. Here you see the same pattern. So it's, I mean, this is in the end the same region. And you see the same pattern, steep increase, especially in winter discharge. Also in summer, but not that strong. Okay. And the strongest change is until end of the century. Now looking at floods. How do floods develop under climate change conditions in your area? What we see, and this is again this return level plot I have explained before, and in yellow, the historical period. So this is the increase of the flow volume, which you can which you ex could expect with a certain return level in years. Yeah. So this would be a 100-year flood, and this is the volume you expect statistically once in 100 years. Now, looking into the future, you see there's quite an increase in flood intensity, more water. And there are also more floods. It happens more often. The former flood, which you would expect once in 100 years, could be a 10-year flood up until end of the century. So there's strong increase in flood risk, hazard and risk in your area. This was a hot scenario. Now looking at a green scenario, we rigorously reduce emissions. And what you see is under these conditions, there's an increase from yellow to orange into to the near future, and then there's a drop afterwards. And this is in line with the temperature increase, where the green scenario gives that we have the maximum temperature increase somewhere mid of the century, and then a slow decrease of temperature. And what you see is that there's a strong connection to extremes. And this is also why it is so important to mitigate the strongest climate change, the strongest temperature increase. Looking at a second river, Tamar, you see the same pattern. An increase, not a very strong one until mid of the century, but a stronger one until end of the century. And in the hot scenario. Now, looking at a cooler scenario, where we really mitigate, invest in mitigation, you see again what we gain. There's a decrease of flood intensity and also in the number of floods up until end of the century. I think this is a quite clear message. Now, looking at, I know that many of you are possibly farmers and landowners. Of course, it is also very important what happens, not only the rivers, but also looking, for example, at arable land. I know that a lot of the region is under grassland, but this example is for arable land. So this is a typical soil in your area, which we have considered in this model setup. And firstly, This is precipitation over the year. These are the days of the year, the historical period in the future. And this is a difference. And what you see is that we have much more precipitation, especially in winter, and possibly less in summer. And this is what you see also when you look at the differences. So this is zero. Above is more, below is less. So in future, especially in the winter term, more precipitation. This leads also to more surface runoff. This in black is surface runoff, especially in winter, when we also when the vegetation cover is also less developed, and increase of surface runoff, especially in winter, not much of a change in summer. This is groundwater recharge in light blue. I hope you can see it. Also, groundwater recharge increases in winter. Yeah, so this does say there's more water stored in groundwater in winter. Evapotranspiration changes, especially in springtime when we have the wet soils and intense growing by plants, possibly intenser under and even intenser after under warmer conditions. And this is in green is a vegetation index. The leaf area index is an index calculating how often you have a vegetation leaf cover over ground. So six does say that you have six layers of leaves above ground. And it is here in the simulation winter wheat. This is a development of winter wheat. Here is a harvest. Afterwards, there's some shrub grass growing, and here is the second cultivation. The cycle starts again. Now, and this is a historical period, this is a future period. And in the future, obviously, plants grow faster. There could be a potential for a second crop, even earlier than end of the century. And important is also there's much faster growing already before winter starts. And this may lead to much more vegetation cover over the winter term. I mean, this is a model result, but I think the results point into the right direction. So it might be that you could have a second crop and there's much more vegetation over winter. Of course, it is also much better. And this may also be a threat for farming in late or in autumn and also in spring. So better soils, may be a problem. Now, looking at soil water, this is the soil water. Change, the change in soil water above does zero does say more, below does say less. And with less precipitation in summer, it might be that we and intense plant growth, it might be that we have drier soils already in spring. And of course, the more when we have the second crop. And this is water stress by plants. This will lead to additional water stress. Here, plants don't grow, so there's no water stress by plants. But here again, with the second crop, much stronger water stress by plants. Now, the next topic impacts on water quality. This is, of course, very much also management dependent, but I think there are some messages, some takeaways. This is the change in nutrient flows and here total nitrogen from the historical period into the near future. But where we think this is a planning horizon, a management horizon. And what you see is that there is much more uptake of nitrogen. This is the green one is plant uptake. So there's much more plant uptake by vegetation. Because, for example, you have more vegetation cover, a second crop possibly. This may lead to a decrease in losses via mostly in the red one is via groundwater. And the reason is that we have additional vegetation in winter, so the soil is covered, there are cover crops and or the, there's vegetation also winter. These are the losses via groundwater historically, as simulated by the model. And these are the ones in future. And what you see is there's especially in winter, much less, or the losses in winter are much lower. Yeah. And the reason again is the additional vegetation cover. Yeah. Again, this is model result, but I think there are some messages which may be interesting to discuss later on. It is very much management dependent. The farmer in the model is, of course, yeah, he should in the end also adapt to the new conditions. And you could think about different crop species. You could think about different harvest times and two crops or not. So this is a question: how would a farmer behave under these conditions? What is most favorable? How would the fertilizer regime, for example, change under these conditions? And it seems to be on the results point that it's that cover crops are quite relevant. Now, the last topic is impacts on health and outdoor productivity. In our project, we have also demonstrators from the south, the Mediterranean, where the impacts of heat are, of course, even much, much stronger. But nevertheless, we have also results for West Country. So this is the web bulb globe temperature. It is a measure of the exposure of humans to heat, and it is an apparent temperature. It combines in the end maximum temperature, humidity, wind speed, and solar radiation. Yeah. It is an index combining these values, which are important for the exposure of humans to temperature. And there are some limits, yeah, which are well known and empirically proven. And what you see is that you have a steep increase in the web bulb globe temperature and the exposure to heat. But looking at the very numbers, it is not still not that bad. Because in the end, you have a maritime climate and it is much worse, obviously, in the south of Europe. Nevertheless, we could also have a look at the outdoor productivity, for example, of farmers, of construction workers. And what we see is under climate change conditions into the future, we see a drop of outdoor labor productivity, but it is again not that bad, obviously not as bad as we see it in some southern countries. Okay. Now the takeaway messages. What we clearly see are hotter summers and warmer winters, and this may lead or will lead to an extension of the vegetation period and possibly also more intense growth of vegetation. But this also will increase the water demand, for example, in summer. We see also wetter winters and drier summers. What we saw also in the simulation results are drier soils in summer, more water stress, but in winter increase in groundwater recharge, possibly leading to more or at least not less water in summer because there's a retention time of water and groundwater, and slowly groundwater releases water in summer. So this can counterbalance the decrease of precipitation in summer, when looking at the river flow. We see also more intense precipitation and also a strong risk that also the number and intensity of floods will increase, but this will also lead to more surface runoff. More surface runoff does say more erosion if you do not have a vegetation cover. And with the additional erosion, looking at phosphorus, This can lead to higher phosphorus losses because phosphorus is mostly washed out by surface runoff because it is binded by particles. And here, riparian zones and wetlands are important as buffer zones to counteract. Now, the longer vegetation period may lead to two crops, but wetter soils in spring and fall may lead to problems with cultivation. And the increasing temperatures may also lead or foster biotic risks, pests and diseases. And this is, of course, also very important and becomes more and more important when looking at agriculture. So there is potentially more vegetation in winter. This could lead to more nutrient uptake and reduce losses with speculation. Crops, cover crops in winter are quite important. And the higher water temperatures favor and stimulate algae growth and blooming, and this will again challenge water quality in summer. Warmer water, of course, has also with warmer water, you will also have less oxygen concentration, and this will possibly a challenge for example, fish. And of course, under these conditions, farmers will and have to adapt. For example, looking at their cropping and fertilization schemes, which have to be changed under these conditions to counteract the worst impacts. With this, I would like to thank, and I guess there are any questions. I cannot be there in person, as I said before, but my colleagues are happy to answer. Thank you very much for the attention.